inviting people and bringing people for a friend day, and just the importance of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have specifically, that's our job all the time, but many times we forget, or many times we just ignore that command. So this morning, I'm going to look at a promise that God gives us, and it's something that I think I enjoyed. I know when I was doing some reading and studying that God kind of spoke to my heart about these verses here, and I'd like to encourage us with it this morning. The word doubtless. So if you see here, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So the promise that's here, it's given, is I like this word, shall doubtless. And so I don't know about you, but hey, it went the wrong way. I thought, there we go. That was fast. The whole lesson in 10 seconds. Isn't that great? Don't you wish it would only take that long? No, of course not. I like these. I don't know about you, but I like when somebody makes a promise. If you're, if you've been given a guarantee for a car and your car breaks down, they're hopefully going to fix it. I know many times when we look about flooring warranties, you know, they have those 20-year and 30-year warranties on them. I ask the people that are selling, what does that mean? They says, not much. It's really hard to get a good warranty or a guarantee on a floor. They always find some way out of it, it seems like. But the guarantees that God gives us is something that is sure and something that is true, and it is something that we should hold to. And when this verse says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him," it gives the idea when we go out, and we go out with a compassion, weeping, and we bear the precious seed, which is the word of God, we will return again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, talking about bringing other people to Christ with him, bringing other people to God. And we like those guarantees, we like those promises. Most of us who know Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We like to hold on to this guarantee and this promise, shall call upon. And so this idea of the word shall versus it's something that's going to happen. And we want to believe that it's going to happen. If we've called upon the name of the Lord and we saw ourselves as a sinner and saw our need and we asked Christ to save us, he will save us. So here are some guarantees that are given. I don't know about you, but I like guarantees. I like it when there's a problem, I got to go to do some warranty work, and they fix it. Our floor out there got messed up or didn't look right in the foyer, and for 6 months, we looked at it, and it kept on getting worse and worse. And finally, we went and said, "Can you fix it?" And they fixed it for us, and it cost them a lot of money, but we were thankful that they fixed it because they had a warranty and a guarantee on it. So here, let's look at these couple verses, and I like to think, like that you begin thinking in your mind, how did you get to church? Now, I'm not talking what car you brought or what bus, but who brought the gospel to you? The idea is that if someone's going to go and they're going to sow in tears and they're going to go out there, God's saying that you're going to see some fruit for that. And I grew up in a home where I went to church before I was born, my mom says. And I was there, I kept on going because I didn't really have a choice, but I wanted to go. But someone brought the gospel to my mom and dad. Someone my mom tells a story, there was a neighbor lady down the road and they rode by and says, "Can I take your kids to church?" My mom's name is Millie or Mildred and my aunt's name is Faye. So Aunt Faye and my mom went to church with that lady. And from that time, you know, they never stopped going. They still go very faithfully. My dad has a similar story that someone stopped by and asked if they could take him to church. At least that's the way I understand it. Dad doesn't talk about it as much as mom does. But, so someone went to them and said, "Can we take them to church?" So I like for you to think for a few minutes. And if we have time, we might even give a little bit of time for you to give testimonies and stories about who told you about God the first time. If it was your parents, praise God for a godly heritage. But also, you know, who brought you to church or who invited you to church? Maybe not this church specifically, or maybe who brought you to that first church. And what is the reason for this? It's to try to encourage us. We all heard it from somebody. We all learned it from somebody. Somebody planted some type of seed. And so throughout the service this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about different people I had the opportunity to help bring to church and different things like that, not to try to make myself look good, but to also try to show you if you're God's work, God's going to bring fruit for that labor. So first thing I want you to think about is this word go. If you go back to this verse, it says, he that goeth forth. And so here's the first point is go. Go. And it's not going to happen if we don't go. And you cannot, if you are a scriptural person, want to be a biblical person, I do not think you can read the New Testament. And when Jesus was leaving this world, he had said a number of times in a number of different ways, I want you to go. He even talked about parables in Matthew chapter 10. It said, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, it talks about hiring laborers for his vineyard. And he said to them, he says, you go and I'll pay you what is right. In Matthew chapter 21, talks about a parable that had two sons. And he says, I want you to go out and work in the vineyard. And the idea of going out and telling the world about Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 22, he talked about a certain king that had a marriage feast for his son. And he wants him to go out into the highways and compel people to come in. And in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16, these are just a portion of the Great Commission. It says, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And you come here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. We have to be able and willing to go. If not, we're going to miss our whole part in the Great Commission. So think about it. If you're just faithful while you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you know what? Sometimes you're going to see fruit. I'm going to tell a story here about Richard for a second. Most of you guys, Richard, have been coming to our church for the last couple months. Talking about Richard for a second. He knows. I told him I was going to tell him. I met him at Sonic. So I was there at Sonic. Teenagers were over there playing volleyball. The Ackley kids were over there playing on the place that we had told everybody who wanted to come to Sonic one day to come on out to church after Sonic. And I was standing there watching the Ackley kids play because I didn't want to play volleyball because I get hurt when I play volleyball. Actually, I don't get hurt. I hurt after I play volleyball. But I was over there. I played a little bit, came over. The Ackleys are over there by themselves playing on the playset. And Richard was sitting there. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, hey, talk to that guy. I was like, I don't want to talk to that guy. So I was doing something else. I was supposed to be with, there was probably 30 or 40 members of our church family there. And so I sat down and I talked to Richard. And Richard had a good, great conversation with Richard. Richard said, God sent you my way. And he even said things like, what do I have to do to be saved? And things like that. And Richard's getting baptized this morning. That's exciting. So I was just going and doing what I was supposed to do. And God speaks to your heart, and you see fruit for the labor of it. So it's amazing how we all have stories like that. And that's how does it happen? It's when we're faithful, when we go and do when God speaks to our heart. And there are times when God speaks to my heart about wanting to go talk to somebody, and sometimes I like to say I obeyed every single time. I didn't. And there are other times when I go and I do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't see any fruit, but I'm planting a seed. But there are times when you see a result from the work that's being done. So you might say, okay, Pastor, the Bible says go. Where am I supposed to go? Think about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the word go 177 times in 166 verses. The command by Christ is to go, not to sit and hope or sit and wait or sit and pray that some lost soul will wander in the door. It's a command for us to go. If we're not going, we're probably not growing as our church, but also growing in the Lord, because we want to be efficient, but we also want to obey God's command. So the next question may be, okay, Pastor, you told me where to go. Where are we supposed to go? See the world as your mission field. The entire world. And when we think about all those missionaries that we're sending out to foreign places and all those places that are far out, they're going, and we're having a part in that. See your family as a mission field. I think about, I have an Aunt Margaret. I've told you that about that before, and she had cancer, and she was dying. And week after week, I'd stop by and see and try to witness to her for months. And after, towards the end of her life, she called my mom up and she got saved. And I was thankful for that. And you know what? It was because someone was willing to go. And once again, I'm not saying these things to try to make myself look good, because I'm ashamed of the fact that I haven't gone more and we don't have more stories that how God's worked and moved in my life specifically and others' lives. We could have a church full of people if we would learn how to go. And but I remember my Aunt Margaret, near the end of her life, called my mom up and said, "Hey, I need your help with something." And she got home and she went to her house and she says, "And I get," she said, "your son keeps on coming and talking and talking and talking to me about this." And she says, "I want to get it settled. I want to get saved." And I had the opportunity to do her funeral a few months later. Your community as a mission field. You know, I don't know about you, but your community is something that's a mission field. Those that are around you in your community. And we do some door knocking. I remember there's people in our church today because I knocked on their door, and I tell the story about Mrs. Creech. I was walking up her driveway in a certain street, and on the back of her car, there was a bumper sticker that says, "I danced at Big Al's," and has a picture of this woman dancing on a table. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go up there, and there's going to be some type of 23-year-old lady up there, you know, half-dressed, that's going to want to dance on the table. I open the door up, and you can't even see her because the sun. And "What do you want?" this little lady, and she says, "What do you want?" And I had the opportunity to invite her to church and sit and talk with her for a while. And why is that? It's because we looked at our community as part of our mission field. And there's a couple others. I remember Mary Rogers went to her house, and she's like, "I'd like to go to a church with you, but you're kind of scary." So it took me 2 or 3 times to convince her that the church bus would stop by and pick her up and everything would be okay. And she's like, "I need to ask my son." And I says, "Go ahead." I said, "I'll even meet your son." I said, "I could even send some ladies over to visit with you." She says, No. "So you're enough. Don't send anybody else. You're confusing me as it is." So, but after the years, I'm thankful that Miss Mary ended up coming and coming for years until she passed away. You know, that's because we looked at our community as a mission field. See your place of employment as a mission field. Hopefully, as a pastor of a church and only 3 people on staff, hopefully they're all saved. But that's not for me. That one's for you guys. But I do remember when Bible college, working a number of times with people at the Rite Aid, and when I was the manager overnight, and an opportunity to talk to the employees that were there. And I didn't do everything I wish I would have. And I'm sorrowful for that. One of the men had passed away, and he was interested in different things. And even though he never got saved while I was there, I'm praying that the seeds that were sown were reaped by someone else. See your neighborhood as your mission field. I actually have a neighborhood now. It's just a little couple of streets that are around here. And I told yesterday we were out in visitation and we were talking about going and putting stuff in our neighborhoods. And I said, I actually have a neighborhood now that I can go invite my neighbors to church. So, and you know, that's, you know, everyone around us is someone who needs Christ. And it's someone that's there. See your school as a mission field. He says, "I'm out of school. I don't have to worry about that." Well, you do have kids, and some of you have kids, and some of you have grandkids. If they see you viewing the world, your family, your community, your employment, and your neighborhood as a mission field, guess what they're going to learn? They're going to catch that the people that they should be a mission field. And so you go back to that promise. You see here in Psalms, and you look here, in verse number, chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You got to go. You got to tell people. Not very often do you get to meet somebody like Richard, who was looking and saying, "You know what, God sent you here to me, and you know, I want to know what it means to be saved." And Richard already been saved a few weeks earlier. He was just asking some questions, and somebody had planted some seed somehow, and he says, "You know, God sent you to me here tonight." And so, you know, not everybody's going to end up being that way, but at the same time, as we go, you know, what we're doing, we're giving God the chance to be honest to his promise that he's given us here. Next thing I want you to see is important is pray. The key for prayer, so important. We miss this. I know it says, "Oh, pastor, where do you see this? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." and that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That is a person, when a person does this, they're going to be a person who's praying. They're going to be a person that let God work in their heart to be compassionate. They're going to be bearing the right seed, which is the word of God. Doubtless come again with rejoicing. They're rejoicing with what happened, but rejoicing in the Lord. We need God's power and God's prayer. It says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. And I think about that. We need the power of God. How do we get this power? Where were they sitting? They were sitting in an upper room for a number of days. They were seeking. They were praying. And it says in Luke chapter 11, 13, I was going over this in my devotions this morning. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father should give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need the Holy Spirit of God. And we need prayer. We need revival. But that happens through prayer. There's a group of people that are encouraging the people in North Carolina to pray and during the month of November, and especially in the next 2 or 3 weeks, that people will be saved and have revival in their churches and see God work and move. And there's special meetings all across the state of North Carolina. And I would encourage you to join that together. Even today is supposed to be a special day of prayer and set aside to just seek God on behalf of the lost people that are in North Carolina. And there's a lot of lost people, and our churches need revival. But this is one thing that really stops true revival coming, is that we're not many times willing to go, willing to do our part. And so I would encourage you to pray and seek God's face. For first, that you would be right, but also that our churches would have a revival and that people would be saved and people would be turning to God and having faith and trust, depending their faith and trust in God. And well, I know we have our special meetings coming up. We're focusing on Friend Day, but we don't look past all those other meetings because God can work anytime, any place, and we want to see people saved. But we're not the only church that rightly divides the word of truth. There's churches all across America, churches all across the state of North Carolina. And how great would it be if in the next 3 to 4 weeks, God works and moves because God's people pray. You're not going to do it without God. You need God's help, and we must learn to pray. Let's think about weep. You see in your verses here, once again, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth in verse number 6. Weep. I wonder when the last time we truly wept over a person's lost soul. I don't know about you, but our hearts can become cold. We can come to the spot where we say, they're getting what they deserved. Come to the spot, the world's just too bad. You know, it says here in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. I know I've used this illustration before. When you see a bunch of people, what do you think? Oh man, it's going to take forever in the store. I wish all these people weren't here. And I feel that way sometimes. But Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. If we would go out with a heart desire to realize that every person has a soul that is destined for heaven or destined for hell, it would move us with compassion. There's people that need the Lord. When you see those great crowds, you wonder, I wonder how many of them know Christ. I wonder how many have ever heard the truth. And we think about all those missionaries that go to all those foreign fields that many times have not heard and the deepest, darkest parts of whatever. And you know what? We can say, is it my problem? Or we can let God work in our heart and mind and let us be moved with compassion. And it says here, and he says, on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. How many of us have wept for someone to know Christ? We need to go, and as we go, we must do it with compassion. It's not because somebody forced us to. It's not because the preacher keeps on beating us over the head with it. It's allowing God to work and move. And one of the greatest ways to do that is when we go. If you do not go, many times you're not going to see the need. I know I grew up coming to church on a bus many times because my mom had to work sometimes on Sunday or because of other needs. And I began working in the bus ministry as a young person, and throughout the years, I have a special heart for the bus. And you go and you knock on those doors, and your heart can be moved with compassion. When you see their needs, you see sometimes the struggles that maybe their parents have, sometimes, you know, whatever community. I grew up in a spot where the bus came through, and I tried to get people to come. My heart was broken. These people need the Lord. I needed the Lord. And I was thankful for the person that faithfully drove that bus, that person that was faithfully knocking on my door on Saturday saying, hey, are you coming? It's something that as you go, you're going to see. And as you go, you're going to become a person who's compassionate about it. The Bible records the importance of tears. Think about in the book of Acts as Paul was trying to say goodbye to these pastors in the church of Ephesus. He says something like this, therefore watch and remember by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and day with tears. I don't think we should be ashamed of tears. I think because of the fact that we don't have as many tears, we don't see as many results. Are we concerned? We talked about last week, I think it was, bringing that guy to Christ in the Sunday morning message, and that how we have to be concerned. And that unless we let our hearts be affected, and our hearts are affected as we go, he'll give us a burden for souls. But when we don't go, the burden's just not there. The person that says, I don't see the importance of a soul-winning program. I don't see the importance of a bus ministry. I don't see the importance of an outreach. It's because they probably haven't gone and don't understand the need that people need the Lord. Now, once again, I think there's a visitation program that where we go take care of our older or ministers and our saints. I think that's great. But we also must not miss those that have never heard and those that need Christ. Let us sweep. So, I think most of us understand what the word so means when it comes to spreading the seed. There's many times when we have to sow. And I like this verse when it comes to that. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So there were some people here in this church that were confused. Some were saying, hey, look, I'm of Apollos, or I am of Paul. They were saying, hey, look, I'm of Paul's group. And some were saying, I'm of Apollos' group. And some were saying, I'm of Cephas' group. And Paul's saying, hey, get over that. And he's saying, we don't do the work. God's the one that does the work and the idea. He's the one that we just sow. He said, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. And the idea here is it's our responsibility. It's to sow. It's our responsibility to tell. It's God's the one that brings the people to Christ. Yes, we're supposed to compel them to come in. Yes, we are supposed to do what we can as the Holy Spirit of God leads us and guides us. That's why it's so important that we pray. But at the same time, we must learn to sow. Now, what do we sow with? We sow with the Word of God. But the important thing here is remember, God gave the increase. So let's do our work. Let's do our part. You might say, no way, my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my whoever, we're going to get right with God. You know what? It's our job to sow. And as we sow, we let God do the increase and we let God do the work. Remember, the word of God is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with have to do. As we give the word of God out, God can use that word in a way that is amazing. Next one I want you to think about, you go back to your verses here, it says, he that go forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, which means the sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. They'll reap and rejoice. They will reap and rejoice. I like that. Shall doubtless. The reaping. sometimes we get the opportunity. As I was telling you about Mr. Richard, he had already accepted Christ. I even asked him that night, you want to pray and make sure you got it right and got it settled? He says, nope, I already did it a couple weeks ago. He already knew. He was confident. He had already been a believer, but at the same time, it doesn't always work that way. You sow. Sometimes opportunity to be sitting on the front row as you see someone get saved. And that's what a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful privilege. I wonder when the last time you won something that Christ was. And you're thinking, Pastor, I ain't ever done that. And that should convict our hearts. We have the truth. He tells us to go. Do we not even do anything to help bring people and save people's soul from eternity? I need to be better at it. I'll be the first one to say, hey, I'm the one that needs to be even better at this. But it is something that we should all be interested in and all doing. And we reap. You know, the Bible says, shall doubtless come again. I like that. I like that guarantee. Come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so it says, a soul winner often get a front row seat to seeing God saved a lost sinner. You will have the privilege of co-laboring with Christ. Remember, he's the one that does the work. He does the drawing and bringing a sinner to himself. I don't know about you, but there's nothing, I guess there are, you know, becoming a Christian, it's amazing. But helping someone else see their need, wow. There is no greater joy. And once again, I know you see, and we see fruits of our labor. You see young people that have grown up from our church, and I didn't have really the privilege. You know, Andrew got saved as a young person during children's ministry, and Christian I had the privilege of working with. You see that you reap those things after a long term. You see many of the kids here that have become Christians over the years. And you're reaping that. But we can have a part in that. We can help bring someone to Christ. And if we haven't done that, the question is why? What should we do? We should work on that. I want to hear a couple of testimonies real quick. I know one person who's not afraid to talk, and I heard his testimony before. Wesley, when's the first time you came to Faith Baptist Church? Remember, we want a short testimony. Somebody invited you, right? Right. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to tell? It doesn't even have to be about when you came here, but who invited you first to church? Mr. Don.
Well, I was already saved.
Okay.
But when the Lord, you know, it was time for me to leave my former church, the first person the Lord put on my mind was Wesley.
Oh, yeah.
Because Wesley had been inviting us to special occasions here. And so I called him up that Saturday night, kind of late, can I come visit the church tomorrow? Oh, yeah, man. So I came.
Cox.
Cox is Sunday school class, and I've been here since.
That was, what, 16 years ago?
Amen.
That's right.
Same week you came here.
Same week I came, a little bit over 16 years ago. And Wesley's been coming for 20 years now?
20 years.
20 years. Anybody else want to share who invited them to first church? Miss Carol? Yes. So you got Wesley, somebody inviting him, a family member, and Mr. Don getting a friend, and from a bus ministry, the Humberts. Anybody else like to share? Miss Shirley.
Yes, when I moved to the city, I was already saved, and I was looking for a church, and I went online, saw your church, and I read what I believe. So I
Praise the Lord. So there's lots of different ways, lots of different opportunities. And it's the idea here, if we're faithful, from a little girl on a bus route to, you know, even Wesley inviting people, you know, those are all things. How about anybody else like to share? Miss Trish. Right, of course. If you knew it was me, you would have ran. So. Wonderful. You already said yours, Mr. Don.
Let me give you the one on my salvation.
Okay. Amen.
Got saved probably 4 or 5 weeks later.
Great. How about anybody else want to share? Miss Patsy.
I was saved when I was like 15 or 16, but along the way I got lost. You know, but my granddaughter came here to Vacation Bible School, and she kept asking, come on, grandmother, come on, you need to go. You really like it. So one night I came to Vacation Bible School with her. Such a feeling of love from everybody here, you know, and I knew God was speaking to me. He said, this is where you need to be. And ever since, I've been here.
Amen. So you got Vacation Bible School there for all you guys that put all those things in. I know I talked to her son-in-law a number of times before that. It wasn't until his daughter got him to come. So a daughter. Anybody else like to share something? Okay, so what? Sure, go ahead.
When I used to work at the repair shop, and every time I had to fix a truck, I had to move from one area to another. And the supervisor comes to me, she said, Leslie, she said, the guys complaining that every time you get in there in their truck, that they got to move. They said, there's a Christian radio station playing.
Okay, so the point and the moral of the story, I think that many of you can get, and maybe if you don't feel comfortable talking to everybody, maybe you can tell somebody else one-on-one or one-on-two, you know, but tell somebody a little bit about how you were brought to Christ or how you were even brought to a church. I know the story of some of you guys, and I see across the room, I know how some of you guys got here, and some of you are here before me, but I know the stories of people that invited some of you to come out and was a part of the services and been faithfully coming ever since. And once again, it's not to try to make Wesley look good or Mr. Don look good or myself or whoever was invited to look good. It's to help us understand if we're just faithful where God has placed us, we're supposed to go, yes. And we're supposed to do our part, let God do the rest. Sometimes on our visitor cards, I'm sitting there and we go out and we've witnessed hard all week and knocked on lots of doors. We probably passed out or at least put a few hundred things out yesterday. And then you hear somebody like Miss Shirley say, well, I was listening to the internet. I'm thinking, I invited all these people and nobody came but somebody from the internet. Who cares? But it was a good thing. You never know. Sometimes God keeps us humble that way. And you remember how it talked about how one sowed the seed, one watered, but God's the one that gave the increase. Let's be faithful. And especially this week and in the next few weeks, let's keep our hearts on prayer about revival and evangelism about people being saved, and then even specifically, see who you can bring for Friend Day or any of the other days. Obviously, anybody's welcome to come, but focus on asking God to give you somebody to invite. To be honest with you, I don't think it'd be wrong. I think it'd be good if we start asking God, show me who I can help win to Christ. You know, help me be a blessing. Help me hand out a tract. You know, coming to church is a good thing because they get to hear the gospel, but we should be soul winners. We should be people who are able to tell and show someone how to be saved. And yes, gospel tracts help do that, but we should be able to do that. And if we haven't done that, this is the main reason why we're here. The Bible says, you know, Jesus even said, you know, the harvest is truly plenteous. We think, man, there's nobody out there that wants to know. You know, there's people sitting at Sonic sometimes. There's people on the other side of the door sometimes. There's people sitting at a mall sometimes. There's neighbors down the street that I know of all the different things of people have been brought to this church because of different stories of people. Let's be faithful, and let's ask God help. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.